My mother, Barbara, has been shellfishing for her entire adult life, basically. And from almost the moment I was born, she was out there on the tide with me, dragging me around. My mother would put me into a fish tote, so it would almost be like a sled. It floated a little bit, too. It wasn't too tipsy. So my mother's farm was on Indian Neck Beach. All through the high school years and through the time I was at college, I continued coming home and working with her. Caleb Potter used to work with her neighbor Richard Blakely, and at times on early morning tides, he would call us the arguing Austins because I would want to do things one way, and it was Barbara's farm, and she wanted things to be done the way she wanted them to be done. So we generally were a good team. We got along well enough, I would say, to get the job done. And then finally branched off onto my own, got my own farm around the corner in Blackfish Creek. Yeah, it was a little bit scary getting going at first without having the, protection and the watchful eye of my mother that taught me everything. And yeah, it was a great feeling to get established and get out onto my own, to have my own scene going on. So I was one of the first amongst my age group to actually get granted a shellfish farm. And now 7 or 8 of my close neighbors are friends that I grew up with that are still here that have, young families as well. A lot of them have 2 or 3 kids. And that's how they feed the kids and pay the bills. It's great to see my friends and family and every day and go out there and work in a beautiful office. You can't really beat that. So that's why I do it. I grow oysters with a rack and bag system as well as bottom cages. The rack and bag is a metal rebar rack that we rest what we call grow bags on top of the rack, and the oysters grow in the actual bag, and as they grow in size, we graduate them to larger size bags. And then when they get big enough, we dump them into cages on the bottom, and we work the cages. So I had a lot of gear that was already established for that growing technique from my years on my mother's farm. When I first started out, my idea was to build a reef. I really wanted, and I liked the idea of having an oyster reef that would be something that I could work year-round, even in the wintertime. I'm not the only person with a reef. There are a couple smaller ones established. There's a reef that inspired my reef because I saw that it could actually work. There was a guy in the 60s that started it. His name was Elton Atwood. And he had a reef that was across from me, and I would see it in the channel every day. And for years and years, he did the same thing and brought shell and built it up, and it became a big mound. The oysters, when they first spawn, they are swimming in the water column, and they're seeking a suitable habitat. Their first choice would be a natural oyster reef, so they would attach onto other oysters. But their secondary choice would actually be any type of shell that they can find that's occurring on the bottom. And they call putting shell out culching, and it's a long-established tradition. It goes back in Wellfleet hundreds of years, because before we had oyster hatcheries to be able to buy seed, it would be completely reliant upon the wild oysters respawning and attaching to a substrate such as shell. I was actually working for a company based in New Bedford, and we were picking up sea clams and sea scallops in Provincetown off the wharf, and I would get up at 4 in the morning and then drive all the sea clams and the shucked sea scallops up to New Bedford. And they had a sea clam processing plant, and they had all the leftover shell. And I started telling them my idea about wanting to have a reef. And they're like, hey, we have tons of these vats out back of shell. Every time you go back, you could bring a few vats of shell back. And if you want them, have them. So once I started to establish the reef, I actually seeded it with oysters. And then I just continued to build up more and more shell. And over the years now, they've started to finally become established. I'll take a load of shell at least once or twice a week to continue building up the outer edges of the reef. And it's actually formed quite a large ring. The center is slightly depressed, and it has the remnants of all the seeded oysters as well as the broken up fragments of the shell. I put the fresh stuff on the outside, and it's formed like an almost the shape of a human eye. There must be hundreds of thousands of pounds of shell that I put out there. I still have that technique going on with the reef building, and I'm continually adding shell, and I still do the grow out in the cages and the rack and bag system, and it just kind of works together. So I've been harvesting off the reef now for 8 or 10 years. I am 40 now. Yes, I turned 40 this year. Yeah, it's hard for me to say. I didn't think I'd ever say that. I don't feel it, but I am 40 now. Throughout my years on the tide, I've definitely seen a lot of changes. When I first started back working with my mother on her farm, a lot of the gear that we use and the techniques for growing weren't even largely established in the area. A lot of the stuff we would try was experimental. I've also seen the community grow in terms of shellfishermen that are aquaculturalists. We used to have a lot more people that would be just strictly wild fishermen. And a lot of the wild fishermen, I've seen them now transition to farm work because as they get older, they don't really want to be carrying a 100-pound bag of oysters through knee-deep mud. So, yeah, we've had many setbacks and challenges along the way. One of our biggest concerns was always the wintertime icebergs and ice floes. Now, we had a norovirus outbreak at one point that shut down the industry. We've had a red tide 1 year. And the most recent, setback would be the pandemic with the oysters that were going to restaurants and all over the country shut down almost overnight. And there were very few sales to be had. If they would take oysters, it was at a very low price. For me, it was very difficult that first year, especially the first 3 or 4 weeks there, everything just stopped. I thought to myself that this won't be so bad. This will blow over and it won't be a big deal. But it ended up being a very big deal because sales went completely out the window. There wasn't really any markets that would take oysters. I scaled back hugely and I definitely wasn't able to purchase an entire year of seed class because there was no sales to be had and didn't have any money. It was definitely a major setback, but you got to roll with the punches. Now the market is great. Things turned around majorly. I'd say the market is probably stronger now than it's ever been. I have two boys, and both my kids, they're 8 and 12, and they definitely both show an interest. They don't want to necessarily go out there and work too hard, but they enjoy being on the farm. Oh yeah, I would definitely love to imagine a third generation of Wellfleet oyster fishermen and farmers. That would be very, very cool to me. An oyster reef, if I build it correctly and continue adding to it, even if I was to stop, it would theoretically continue on for generations. That's what I would joke with my neighbor. I'm building an oyster reef for the kids, so when I die, they got something to come out here and work on, something to remember me by. So, yeah.